Sundays ago, my mother-in-law told me that there was an article in the New York Times about Jews and sushi, and how gefilte and herring is no longer the fish of choice for the Jewish community. Now sushi is the fish of choice for the Jewish community. It went on to say, quoting one sushi maker, that in Borough Park alone, there are 50 stores that sell kosher sushi, and in all of Brooklyn, probably another additional 50 stores that sell kosher sushi. So this has become a significant issue, not only because it changed the menu at chasanas and bar mitzvahs and things like that, but when people make a kiddush on Shabbos, they like to serve Jewish foods. And now that sushi has become a Jewish food, people like to serve sushi at a kiddush on Shabbos. Is one permitted to make sushi on Shabbos? A lot of times, even when you go to people's houses now, as an appetizer, instead of gefilte fish, they'll serve sushi, or they'll serve gefilte sushi. You ever seen this? They wrap gefilte fish in the seaweed. So is one permitted to make sushi on Shabbos? Now, what would possibly be the problem? So first of all, it's important to know how sushi is made. You take cooked rice, you spread it on top of this seaweed type of thing, and then you put the ingredients inside the rice. I'm sure you've all seen this happen. You roll it up, and then you chop it into, and then you squeeze it with a bamboo mat to make it nice and even. And then you slice it, place it with the inside facing up. Why with the inside facing up? So that people could see how beautiful it looks, where you have the avocado next to the piece of salmon next to right, that it looks very nice, and then it's presented. And it's presented in that way. Now, it's also for a practical reason to face up, so you could see what you're about to eat. That's also helpful. Now, what would the issue be with making sushi on Shabbos? So before we get to what the issues actually are, I first want to discuss what the issues are not. That I've heard many people say, it's a problem of this, problem of that. I want to explain why there are six or seven things that I've heard people say that I don't think are really an issue at all. One issue that people raise is an issue of Bishul b'Shabbos. Well, obviously, if you're cooking the rice on Shabbos, that would be a violation of Bishul Midaris on Shabbos. But if you are taking the rice and putting it next to the even raw fish, that is not a violation of Bishul on Shabbos unless the rice is piping hot. If the rice is very, very hot, so we're machmir, that even once it's out of a kli rishon, a dover gush, a solid food, would still have the ability to be mevashel. But no one makes sushi with piping hot rice. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be good. The point is to keep the fish raw. You don't want the fish being cooked by this piping hot rice. So no one makes sushi like that. That's why I don't think it's a problem of bishul. The second issue I've heard people discuss is mimachek or mimareach, smoothing something out. Now, mimachek is the av malacha. What's the av malacha? Mimachek, they would take an animal hide that if you look at your shoes, let's say, I have leather shoes, right? So they're smooth. No animal has skin that feels like this, that feels like your leather shoes. What they have is very rough skin, and they scrape it down to even it out. That's mimachek. Now, a tolda of mimachek is mimareach. Mimareach is not when you scrape something down, it's when you smooth something out. You take something that's pliable, that could be spread, and you smooth it out like a cream, let's say, a thick cream that you'd smooth out on your skin. That would be a violation of mimareach. That's the major discussion in Poskim, whether one is allowed to use toothpaste, regular toothpaste, on Shabbos. Is toothpaste a violation of mimareach? Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that he says someone came, it was Rav Shurkin. Rav Shurkin came to Rav Soloveitchik once, and Rav Shurkin was learning in MTJ at the time, and he used to come to Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim, and he said to Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Old, you're not allowed to brush your teeth because it's mimachik. And Rav Soloveitchik said he can't possibly mean mimachik, because mimachik is scraping down the surface of something. So what, he holds that you're scraping down the surface of your teeth? That's not what you're doing. You're removing foreign material from your teeth. He said, Rav Soloveitchik said, if brushing your teeth were memachik, then after you brush your teeth 100 times, you wouldn't have teeth left, because you'd be scraping it down every time. It's obviously not memachik. No, Rav Moshe didn't mean memachik. What Rav Moshe meant is memareach, that you're smoothing out the paste over your teeth. So is this a violation of memareach by smoothing out the rice with the bamboo that they roll it in to smooth it out, to give it a nice smooth surface? So this does not seem to be a problem either. If you look in the Lama Tess Melachos book, Rabbi Ribiat, on page 921 and 925, he points out that that's only when you're using an actual smoothing motion. I mean, if you just flatten something, that's not mimareach. Mimareach is when you take something and you go back and forth in a way that's making it clear that you're trying to smooth it out. Over here, the rice is there. They place the rice down, and then they squeeze it in the bamboo. They're not... They're not doing the smoothing back and forth motion. Plus, most poskim assume, and this is the way we pass in Shulchan Aruch, even though the Ramah suggests a machmir tafel of bracha, that if you take, let's say, peanut butter or cream cheese, you're allowed to spread it over a piece of bread or a bagel, because you're not doing it for the sake of mimareach, you're doing it because it's a much better bagel when it's not just one big clump of cream cheese in the middle, and it's smoothed out over the entire bagel. Your sushi will be much better if the rice is smoothed out over the entire area, and not just one clump, right in the middle of the roll. So it does not seem that it's memareach or memachik either. Another suggestion is perhaps it's uvda d'chol, that this is considered a weekday activity. The problem with suggesting that making sushi on Shabbos is a weekday activity is that nobody's really sure how to be magdir uvda d'chol. What exactly counts as a weekday activity and what does not? We know what examples Chazal use and the Shulchan Aruch uses. You take a comb that combs the hair or the skin of an animal, and you use the same one on Shabbos that you do during the week. So that would be uvda d'chol. Rav Avadya Yosef, for example, when it comes to brushing teeth on Shabbos, Rav Avadya Yosef holds there's no violation of schita, no violation of memareach, no violation of hachana, no violation of any of the classic things you would think are a violation. But he says you need a Shabbos toothbrush, because it's uvda d'chol. Most of the poskim don't assume that way. Very hard to be magdir exactly what's uvda d'chol. What about sushi making is a weekday activity? So it's hard to say that it's uvda d'chol. Others suggest that maybe it's a problem of muktza. Why is it a problem? Muktza Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chesif Lam Bey says that raw, unsalted fish is muktza. But it clearly does not seem to be that that's an issue over here. Why? Because why is raw, unsalted fish considered muktzah according to the Shulchan Aruch? Because it was, you couldn't do anything with it. No one would ever eat it. So that would be, and the only way to make it useful is by cooking it. We should know how to do on Shabbos. So that's what makes it muktzah. But in a society where people eat raw, unsalted fish, for example, the Shulchan Aruch holds raw meat, it's not muksa, because people eat little pieces of raw meat. Yeah, but if you have a big brisket that's raw, so that's probably muksa nowadays, because no one in their right mind eats something like that. So if it's something that's eaten all the time in this way, so it would seem that it's not a violation of muksa. Another suggestion I've heard people say is that maybe it's a violation of makah bepatish, because you're making a finished product. The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yuches of Dalit Paskins, like the majority of Rishonim, that makah bepatish doesn't apply to food. So even the Prima Gadim, who says it does apply to food, would only answer if you were taking something that was inedible and making it edible. But you're taking a bunch of edible ingredients and just putting it together, it would not be a violation of makah bepatish. So all of these are what's not the issue with making sushi. So what is the issue? I believe that there are two genuine issues. There was an article in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society about this a couple of years ago by Rabbi Ari Zatz. I was in touch with him just recently, and I think he really hit the two issues. He didn't discuss any of those issues. I think he hit the two issues that are genuine issues. Issue number one is tochein. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Hamachate Chayarek Dak Dak Chayiv Mishum Tochein. If a person takes vegetables and chops them up into very tiny pieces, that is a violation of tochein on Shabbos. The Mishabruv there in Sivkan Lamaches points out that even applies to vegetables that can be eaten raw, because yesh tchina ba'ochlin. We assume that tochein is not only when you're taking kernels of grain and making flour out of it, even food, if you chop it up very small, is a violation of tochein. For example, you want to make an Israeli salad, and you want to cut up the, like they have in camp, the little cucumbers and the tomatoes that they have cut up into tiny pieces, so one should not do that on Shabbos, unless you're going to do it in a way that we're about to explain. Now, the Bir Halacha points out on the spot that the Gemara says that if someone is paris silka, he's chayiv mishum tochen. If he chops up a vegetable, he's chayiv mishum tochen. And Rashi over there says that means mechadchen dak dak. And the Bir Halacha writes, aval bechatichos gedolos ktsas. If they're slightly large, ein derech hatchina bekach. That's not called tochein, and that would be okay. And he says that's how the Rambam says dak dak. That's only if it's very small. But he says kol zeli inyan chiyuv, avli inyan iser yesh li zoyer ma'od bazeh. That this is in terms of whether you're going to be chayiv for violating Shabbos, but in terms of what you should avoid doing, one should be very careful about how small they chop up vegetables. The kvar kasav the sefer yireim the shir dakuson lo noda lanu. What's called dak dak? How do we define what's very small? We have no idea. And since we have no idea, we need to err on the side of caution. And he says that's what the Beis Yosef writes as well. that we should make chatichos gedolos b'miktsas, that we should make slightly larger pieces, and also that it should be samach l'su'udah. Now, what does that mean, that it should be samach l'su'udah? So that's based on the Ramah. The Ramah over there writes that aval im la'achlo miyad hakol shari, that just like there's a heter of miyad by borer, there's a heter of miyad by tochen as well. So you're not allowed to chop up tiny little vegetables for an Israeli salad unless you're about to eat the Israeli salad. So if it's right before the meal, how do we define miyad? What if, like, people want to have a little conversation after they chop up the salad before they wash? You have to quickly rush. Everyone wash quickly. We got to quickly have the Israeli salad. Otherwise, it's not going to be miyad. So the way the poskim define miyad is that it should be after davening. Meaning, if you're gonna have the Israeli salad for lunch, so don't chop up the Israeli salad before davening in the morning. That's not miyad. After davening, you know, there's not that much time between davening and lunch. It doesn't have to be that you're rushing, but that it shouldn't be that there's something else that needs to be done in between. So that would be the major heter over here. If you wanted to make sushi, so I don't know if you've ever been to I assume you've been to Jewish simchas by the sushi guy, it's miyad. It goes immediately. He can't make them fast enough for the Jews to eat them. So if that's the case, that would seem to be that it's absolutely miyad. One could also argue that he's not really cutting it duck, because if you look at the way they cut the vegetables, as I mentioned before, they roll out the rice, then they put these long strips of vegetables on the rice, and then they cut the whole thing separately. They cut the whole thing together, rather, where the vegetables turn out to be dak. I'm not sure how that would play out la'alacha, but certainly you can solve this problem by cutting all the vegetables before Shabbos. So if you cut the vegetables before Shabbos, tochein would obviously not be a problem. But that's what brings us to perhaps what the biggest problem and the most difficult to really be magdir type of issue is, and that is the issue of bona, of building. Now that seems a little bit strange. It's an issue of building when you're making sushi. So the Gemara Maseches Shabbos Daf Tzadi Hei writes that Megabein is Asur Mishum Bona, that if one makes cheese on Shabbos, that is a violation of building on Shabbos. Chayyadam Klal Lametes. After, when you look up Chayyadam Klal Lametes, he starts the numbers again by Hilchas Shabbos. So you don't want to, like, look up the one that's like a middle of Hilchas Tefillin or something. Chayyadam Klal Lametes in Hilchas Shabbos. Chayyadam Klal Lametes Os Aleph writes that bona by food is defined as attaching different foods together to make a shape. And he writes, you see from Megabein that even with food you could have something called bona. The lav dafka gvina, it doesn't have to be cheese. Ela afilu amedabik peros umachavin laasosam bal tmuna aruch omeruba. Even if you're taking different fruits and putting them together and trying to create some sort of picture or shape, that too chayuv mishum bona, says the Chayyadam. So with that definition, taking different pieces of food, putting them together, and trying to make a nice shape or a nice image, that might be a problem when it comes to sushi. I know we just made a bar mitzvah party for my son. We saved a lot of money by having him laying in camp, but we had to, like, you know, we told him, okay, so we're not having a Shabbos for you. He's like, then I'm getting sushi. So we got him sushi at his bar mitzvah. It was a worthwhile trade. And we just got the pictures back, and half the pictures were of the sushi. What is going on? Why are they taking pictures of the sushi? But apparently that's the most beautiful food there. It's a very nice-looking food. So it's making a certain image, a certain shape, a certain nice-looking thing. That would be a violation of bona according to the Chayyadam. Now, what exactly the gedder of binyan ba'ochlin is actually a machlokas rishonim. The Rashba, Mesach Shabbos, Tavkuv Beis, writes that it's only when it's a shem chadash, that you used to have curds and then you made cheese. That's a new name. So that would definitely be true of sushi. You can't, if you go into a store and you ask for sushi and they say here and they give you some rice and some raw fish and some avocado, so you know, and some seaweed, you would say no, I didn't ask for ingredients, I asked for sushi. It certainly has a shame chadash when you turn it into sushi. The Rambam, however, in the seventh part of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Vav, writes that putting together multiple ingredients to make a single unit is a violation of bona, and the Magen Avraham clarifies that that's only when you're concerned about the beauty of the final product or the size or shape of the final product. And that's why, for example, you're allowed to make a sandwich on Shabbos. Meaning, if you're going to say the Rashba's Geder, shouldn't it be us like yesterday in camp? We had the cold cuts at lunch, and they have those delicious rolls. So you look around the dining room, everyone's cutting the rolls open and making cold cut sandwiches on Shabbos. Isn't that Asur, according to the Rashba? Isn't that a violation of Bona? They're taking different foods, and before it was just cold cuts and a roll. Now it has a new shame Chadash. It's now called a sandwich, right? So isn't that a violation? So according to the Rambam, it's not a violation, because it's not to make a precise size or shape. Those sandwiches weren't particularly pretty, if you look around the dining room. So that would not be a violation. I was wondering about a wrap. Meaning sometimes when you make a wrap. So the truth is, sandwich is not a problem anyway, because it's not really a single unit. If you pick up the top of the roll, you know, the whole thing doesn't, you have to hold it on both ends in order to get the whole thing. By sushi, it really becomes one single unit. But a wrap may be a little different. Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher and Shabbos and Simon Pei Gimel is so machmir about this issue. He holds that if you take multiple cakes and you layer them with cream in between, that's a violation of binyan ba'ochlin, because it used to be a cake, now it's a shame chadash, now it's a layered cake, and he holds that that's called a shame chadash. That's quite a chumrah. Now when it comes to salads, it would seem would not be a problem at all, because they're not connected at all, they're just thrown together. So even if you make a layered salad where one is on top of the other, but there's no connection between them, they're just next to each other. So what are the possible kulas when it comes to bona? So first of all, you could argue that it's not really made into a particular shape, it's just made into circles because that's easy to eat, but it's not really made for the sake of the shape. You could also argue it really depends how good you are at making sushi, that if you were to try to make sushi for the first time and you're not a professional, that it would be that it would fall apart anyway, and it wouldn't be a single unit. You could also argue it's not permanent. Rav Asher argues that even if it's not permanent, then it is a problem, because based on the Magen Avraham, that Asher's fig rings, which are not permanent, he has a raya from a Mishnah Maseches Trumos, not going to get into all the details, but he suggests that that's not a heter. The Magen Avraham suggests that anything that's only slightly molded together, which may be the case by sushi and is not really built and constructed, is not necessarily a violation of bona. Now, what do the poskim hold, the maisa? So when you go to a kiddush, so the guy that's making sushi very often, first of all, you ever notice that in Shabbos kiddushes, most of the time there isn't a guy making sushi, even at fancy kiddushes, even if they have sushi, they usually have it on a prepared platter. So that's because of this issue. It's not because the fancy people that make fancy kiddushes don't want someone making sushi. They do want someone making sushi, but a lot of the hashkachas won't allow them. So Rav Asher Weiss thinks it's nissa daraisa. He thinks just like cheese making is nissa daraisa, he thinks it's nissa daraisa to make sushi on Shabbos. Mori Rabbi Rav Willig thought it was definitely issur, but likely only in issur. Sir Durabban and Moriv Rabbi Shechter thought the same. I didn't speak to him directly, but Rabbi Ari Zatz reports that to me. I asked Rabbi Eisen from the Five Towns Vad what we do in the Five Towns Vad in terms of sushi on Shabbos, and he sent me what Rabbi Gersten from the OU sent him in the name of Rav Belsky Zichron Levracha. Rav Belsky Zichron Levracha was choshesh that this might be a violation of what the Chayei Adam said, but he wasn't certain about it. So Rav Belsky's policy, and this became the OU policy, is that if a Baal Simcha insists on sushi, we gently discourage it. We gently discourage it, but if he insists and says that he must have it, because what would a simcha be after all? Without you're not even sure if the kids chayiv and mitzvahs if you don't have sushi. So then we can't say that it's asir. So that's why you'll find that some suggested, yeah, but if you have a guy doing it and you hold it's only an issur drabanan, so it's a shvus to shvus, and doesn't that make it mutter when it's a shvus to shvus? Not exactly. Shvus to shvus is mutter b'makom mitzvah or b'makom tzorech gadol. Having sushi at a kiddush before you go home and eat your three-course lunch, I don't know. Hard to say that it's a makom mitzvah or a makom tzorech gadol. That's where Rav Willig was very uncomfortable, saying that you're going to call this a heter of a shvus to shvus. So that's why, in general, we would try to discourage sushi making on Shabbos. Okay, now you